Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much. But when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Wow!
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST. Code ACAST.
Hey everybody, I'm Kim Holderness.
And I'm Penn Holderness, and this is the Holderness Family Podcast. Thank you so much for joining us today. Thank you for being part of this world. This is the podcast where we are able to kind of let our guard down and talk about what's going on in our lives. Sometimes it leads to some vulnerable moments. And Kim and I just got in a fight.
I'm still crying.
Kim is still crying. I was sad before. We got through it, and
We're through it.
I think we're in a better place, but I would like to start this podcast by letting the entire world know how grateful I am to have the wife that I have. I just went on this awesome guys trip to Switzerland, and it was unbelievable, and I just realized during this fight that I didn't ever officially thank Kim for letting me go on a 5-day boys trip to Switzerland. And I want you to imagine as a wife, if your husband went on a trip and was very polite to you and got home and, you know, got right back to work, but forgot to actually stop for a second, look the person straight in the eye and say, thank you so much for everything that you did while I was gone. I know how hard that must be. I thanked her. Has it ever happened to you guys? I thanked her in my brain several times, but I don't think it ever came out of my mouth. That is what led to this discussion, very emotional discussion, where I think that's the reason why my wife is still crying. But I am now letting everyone who's listening know, including my wife, that, oh my gosh, what a great gift to give someone where they can go and do these things.
And I was happy for it. Like, I want you to have that time.
I know you were, but you should have gotten thanked. But I swear to God, this is, so here's the thing. The ADHD brain, like, just leaves stuff open, and they think they did it, but they didn't. But this is unacceptable. Like, I should set an alarm next time I go somewhere to thank her for letting me do this. Because, I mean, it really, it's all it takes. If you have a good wife and a good relationship, like, thank you can go a long way. And I dropped the ball on that one. So that's on me. Of course, as any other fight is, it just led to about 15 other things. I think we're in a better place now. Are you okay to jump in here, babe? Or do you want me to?
No, we're good. I mean, we have a whole marriage book, you guys. But we said very openly, like, we're passengers on this flight.
Yeah.
And marriage is hard, man. Like, I'm over it. We're over it. We're good. It took a long time for Penn's ADHD brain, because he is such a grateful soul and a happy soul in his heart. It sounds so strange that, like, oh, I was waiting to be thanked. Like, but we're in a stage in our life, quite honestly, single parents, you're amazing. And single parents have their life set up in a way that they can single parent. But our life is not set up like that because we're not. And you happily do 50% or more of driving, sports, carpool. So when one of us is gone, we don't have the support system in place. But it's fine. And, like, you should do it. We're not going to rehash. Anyway, it did bring up a lot of other things. And
there was some unpacking.
We unpacked.
Yeah.
We unpacked.
But it was good unpacking. It went from the you always or you never to the I feel. We got to the I feel part. And if you read our book, you know that that's important, right? Yeah. So we got to the I feel. And I think we see each other a little bit better. What it comes down to is I think that when you are married to someone who you work with, and then you see that person go out and have fun. And this happens to me too, babe, not just to you. There's this little voice in the back of your head like, oh, so that's what fun is for them. What about me? And I want you to know that I felt that way before too. I've been like, oh, you're having an awesome time over there. Over here,
it's all work.
It's carpool, and it's carpool's work, sports is work, work is work. We do all of those things together, and we realize like, oh God, we have been. I think there's a deficit in our relationship again, and this happens over and over again, where we need to make more time to enjoy each other's company outside of everything else.
And I mean, a lot of the conversation we have. I mean, it's just us and it's just for us and just for a marriage. But I think the thing that like could be applicable to other marriages right now, because I do think a lot of people are still working from home, even though they have different jobs, they're still in the same house together. I think we have come to a point where we work together side by side all day long, and then we parent together all evening. So when we need to relax, unwind, it needs to be out of this house. And quite often it is out of this house with other people. Like, you have an amazing group of guy friends. I have some good girlfriends. So we have found our way to like relax and unwind that has nothing to do with each other, which is great. And I strongly believe that every couple needs that. But I think we have both come just in the last half hour realized like we haven't gone on a date night I'm embarrassed. I don't remember the last time.
It's been a minute.
I think
it's been too long.
Also, we are guilty of, our kids are so important to us and their activities and sports. And like, we prayed during the pandemic, both of them really struggled socially and lost the craving to be out with their friends. And like, it got really awkward. Like, we couldn't even... We'd say, okay, it's safe to be outside. Do you want to have people over in the backyard? Do you want to go like meet up with the friends outside? And like, neither of them really wanted to. They were so just, I don't say happy to be home, but they'd become so introverted. So now that they do have active social lives, like, we've not said no. Like, Lola had something social every day last weekend when you were gone. And we did not, I never said no. I was like, yes, this is what I prayed for. This is what I wanted. And at a certain point in time, our weekends can't be ruled by our kids' schedule. Like, we need to say,
yeah,
I know you want to go to that football game. You can go to the football game, but you got to get a ride home because your dad and I are going out to dinner.
We're
going to
get out of this vortex when Lola gets her license. And I know that's a whole new set of problems.
Yeah.
That's going to help a little bit. We suck at engaging carpool for selfish reasons in some ways as well.
Well, I love, and I've written,
that's the selfish reasons.
Yeah, so
I'm talking
this
about.
Is this is what it is I do believe the time I have in the car where literally my kids are strapped in and they cannot escape me is when we talk. You know, the radio is on for a minute and then we hear a song that cues a conversation or we turn it down.
Yeah.
And we talk. And so to give that away all the time, or to have, and the dynamics change when you have other kids in the car. By the way, we totally take advantage of carpool, getting rides home on occasion, but mostly it sounds crazy to say it, but we value that time in the car, or I do. So in that way, our life is not set up to have like a wide support system of car share, like ride sharing and stuff like that. Anyway.
Do you know what I just realized?
What?
Because I'm sitting here like going through my mind, because we do have kind of a unique situation where we work and live together. We talk about it all the time. And it leads to this deficit. There are these things that everybody else does in every other marriage that I bet you we take for granted. Here's an example of one of them. Someone comes home from work and the loving wife, and it sounds like a Leave It to Beaver episode, says something like, how was your day?
Yeah.
And it gives you a chance to kind of explain in a nutshell like what the highs and lows were and help learn something more about your wife. We've never asked each other how your day was because we freaking know.
Yeah.
It's like already there. So, but also, how is your day? I think is an invitation for you to share your feelings about anything and help connect. And it's even though you know how it is, you could probably learn a lot from that person, even if you know exactly what happened by asking that question. Should we start asking each other how our day was? Because we don't do it.
Maybe there's a better question. Like, I like to ask people, like, what's good? Like, tell me something, what's good? Like, for our kids, and I rarely ask our kid, how was your day? I tried, because they'll always say fine. For our kids personally, like, they're not like a super detailed sharer, because somebody said, Dr. Lisa DeMore? Somebody just recently posted Instagram, like, asking your kid, how was your day, and expecting a detailed response is like after 12 Zoom meetings, saying, how was your day? And you're like, oh, the last thing I want to talk about is that. So maybe for
I'm sure there's a better question.
Yeah. So maybe for you and I, and maybe for people listening, there's like a better question.
Like, how did I screw up today?
No.
I'm joking.
No, but like, I always ask the kids, what made you laugh? Like, what happened today that was really funny?
Right.
What did your friends pack for lunch? Like, I'll just, and that there's like little things that will spark then a different conversation. But you and I mean, like, we're just laying it out there as people who wrote a marriage book and went through marriage counseling. We just had a doozy of a fight. And I think the biggest solve that will prevent this fight from reoccurring is we need time outside of this house with us, not talking about work and not talking about our kids potentially.
Yeah.
But I don't know how to do that.
I think more specifically, and you can say that, and we did that. That was kind of what it ended up with. But I think it was started by the lack of gratitude. So that was where this was. Remember, again, this started because I got back from a trip and I thought I thanked her and I didn't thank her for looking after my kids. I am insanely grateful and I really thought I did it. But now looking back through it, Kim made a good point. She's like, I was waiting for it. Kind of like, you know how you look for a yellow car? Like, you're definitely going to see a yellow car. So I believe you. I screwed up there. But that got to us talking about our feelings, because I was feeling... First of all, Kim was feeling very obviously unappreciated, which she should have if I forgot to thank her. I had the trifecta of the worst feelings ever, which is there's guilt about something, which is when you regret something that you did, which was not thanking you. I felt shame because the way my brain works, and because of shame is when you're feeling something that you are. It's about something that you are, which for me, I'm a forgetful person who has to like really work at it. So obviously that played a part in me not like explaining my gratitude. And then you put those two together, I was just embarrassed. I was like all these three things together. And I think because of that, that's how the fight started. I lashed back at her and I said, no, I definitely did this. And it took a second to cool down and realize, oh, if it's possible that I didn't do this, let's imagine this world. And I felt all three of those things at once. And then once I told her how I was feeling, she told me how she was feeling. And then we just exchanged our feelings.
Yeah. Yeah. It did come out as anger, like in the beginning.
I was annoyed.
Yeah.
I mean, can we also mention that you said all this stuff like on the first time we were recording this podcast?
So
it felt a little bit like gotcha journalism for me. And so we hit stop.
That was a mistake.
That's, and you apologized.
Yes.
So like, sorry. You know, but again, so hey, here's our podcast.
Oh my gosh, you guys, it's a journey. Well, I think that's why I brought it up when we initially hit record, because I feel very safe. And honestly, I didn't think it was going to spiral into like a crying fight. We hit stop before it got to that. But it is a safe space. And I do love when we get a lot of questions. And I think those are my favorite podcasts, when we just do kind of a Q&A. And that was the plan today, was to do this Q&A. But appropriately, I don't know if the universe aligned, but we got some questions that I think would be appropriate to answer.
Let's do it.
Hey, hang in there. We're going to be right back.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
The plan for today was to do Q&A. Those are always my favorite podcasts that we do because I love your questions. And we get questions on the daily. And if you have them, send them. And we got some ones that I think are incredibly appropriate given how we just introduced this podcast. And this one, I can't believe we've never really sat down and unpacked and answered. But what does doing the best I can really mean? You guys, we like made a song and then made T-shirts. And then on The Amazing Race, we wore T-shirts that says, I'm doing the best I can. Phil even quoted it. I mean, like it became kind of a mantra and a rally cry for everybody on the cast of The Amazing Race. But I don't know that we ever really unpacked it. So for you, Penn Holderness, what does I'm doing the best I can really mean?
Can I start by telling the Genesis story?
Yes.
Like every great movie has a Genesis story, right? Uh-huh. So there's actually a video on this on YouTube about when my son threw up on an airplane.
Oh my gosh, it was pre-COVID, but thinking of it under the COVID lens, it's disgusting that he vomited on a plane.
Right.
Anyway.
So I was...
And it was a funny story, by the by.
Yeah, this was back in the days when our kids didn't want to sleep or didn't want to sit together away from us.
Yeah.
Which is now what happens when we go on planes, like PC and Lola are in their own place on their devices and then Kim and I are somewhere else. And so this was when we were 2x2 with the younger person. So I was sitting with PC. And I told him a joke in the middle of the flight, and he laughed so hard, he just explosively vomited all over me.
By the way, we should have given a trigger warning because there are some people that if you even mention that act. So we'll just stop saying that word. So okay. Anyway, he got sick.
Sick. And it was everywhere. The stuff was everywhere. And I was cleaning. First of all, I had to direct his head toward me so it didn't get anywhere else, because in that situation on an airplane, you just have to make sure that it doesn't get on anyone else who's on the flight, or hopefully I'm not on any upholstery. And so I just directed him right toward my stomach. And then there became the issue of like what to do next, because there were still people on the flight. They could totally tell what was going on. And Kim was trying to pass me like diapers.
I was passing him diapers. I was passing him wipes. I was passing him like spare clothes, a T-shirt.
And then also speaking to me, trying to help, like, hey, what do you need? Can you make sure that that goes there? Like, can you like call the flight attendant? And she was trying to be helpful, but also ask me questions. And I just like freaked out, and I just kept yelling. I don't even remember this, but I just kept yelling over and over again,
I'm doing the best I can. I'm doing the best I can. I'm doing the best I can. I'm like, I know, honey. You're doing great. You're doing great. I'm just like, here, take some wipes. Here's a T-shirt. Put it over your crotch that's now soaked. So anyway, so that became a funny, anytime something went wrong in our house, we would just start
doing the best I can.
I'm doing the best I can.
Yeah.
But deeper, I think for me, so that's how the Genesis story.
Yes.
But I think what it came down to for me, and it's something Christopher Edmonston, who helped our little marriage coach, came to us saying, listen, most people you encounter in your life are doing their very best. And if you approach life assuming that they are giving you your best, the lens changes entirely.
Not just for people in relationships, for people that you see on the street, just everyone, right?
Yeah, we were going through some times, had a hard time with your parents, and I was feeling very
not belligerent's not the word. I was feeling very like triggered. Like, why aren't they doing this? And why aren't they doing this? He goes, listen, this is their best. At their current mental state, this is their best. And it in an instant, my insides kind of went soft. I was like, oh, this must be really hard for them. This must be really hard to do the thing. And so it immediately changed my lens of not, it wasn't taking it personally anymore. And once I started meeting people assuming the best, which is not really my nature, it changed how my outlook on life. So personally, I'm doing the best I can is one day I'm doing the best I can, won the amazing race, right? I'm doing the best I can, kept us up late studying notes and stuff like that. But other days, and even more recently, I'm doing the best I can was, guys, I took a shower today.
Yeah.
And I got the kids to school and I fed them a dinner that I got through a drive-thru, but guess what? I did it, and high five to me. So if the world can show me grace, I try to extend the same grace, which is why even in the fight we just had, I know, and I started telling the story because like Penn, bless, left the freezer open last night, but this is why I wasn't mad at him, because I could picture what it looked like him coming in. He played tennis. He was hungry. I left dinner on the stove, which means he also had to clean the pots they were in. He had to get it. Like, I know he was doing 12 things, and that's not, I did not set him up for success. So he had to let the dog out. He had to do all these things. And when somebody with ADHD has to do 12 things, 11 of those might get done, but like number 12. And so that's why, like, I know you were doing your best. That's why I was not even mad. I was like, okay, it's fine. Like, nothing broke. Nothing froze over. No food got ruined. And that was your best. And just like for me, there are days where I have to tap out and say, hey, it's a high anxiety day. I know we have 4 meetings. I'm going to need you to handle 2 of those solo so I can go on a walk, or I can go for a run, or I can do something. Like, you provide me the same grace, and it's very much this, I'm doing the best I can. We assume the best out of each other. And that's why I think it's such an important motto in our family.
What a great exercise this is. We may have accidentally discovered some new thing for therapy, because I think that, first of all, this should mean something different to every single person.
Yeah.
Because it says I'm doing the best I can. It's a lens into what is important to you, and also a lens into how you view the world. I think those are the two things. It's also a way to like find out like what your motivation is or what you want out of life. I think I heard all of those things from you. Like, you want to do the best you can. You now are able to look and see that the world is doing the same thing. So that is sort of the backbone of the tremendous empathy that you have, and you are naturally an empathetic person. And so I would love to hear what everyone, like wherever you comment on this podcast, I want to know what everyone thinks I'm doing the best I can means. For me, the two things that really stick out for me, number one is I am using this mantra more than I used to when I look at my children.
Yeah.
My children are not alone in the world where, particularly once you get into high school or youth sports, there is an expectation and a dream of excellence that these children have. Like, they want to be the best that they can too. But the odds are your child is not the best basketball player on the planet. And your daughter or son may not be the smartest person in their class. They may not get into Harvard, both of them. It is a percentile game that you start picking up on once your kids get to a certain age. And I don't think that's fair to the children. I think that if they have this dream, and I feel like, okay, in order for you to make this dream happen, you have to be in the number one percentile. Like the top percentile of every child on the planet. And this is how we're going to get there. It's much better to think, well, let's just take this and do the best we can. and see what happens.
Yeah.
Because,
by the way, I think for our kids, I'm sorry to interrupt, the pressure comes from seeing their peers.
Yes.
Especially Lola. There's a lot of college talk. I think it's a lot of school talk and college talk at school. We are not putting that pressure on our daughter.
No. This isn't about how I feel that they should do. This is how I want them to feel about themselves.
Yeah.
I guess that's what I mean. If we could back up and just pretend like she's in a vacuum and look at our daughter, which we should do more. My God, is she impressive.
Oh, like not even like in a vacuum.
You know,
like,
you know what I mean? Like I want her to do this. So, like take a step back. She's so much more impressive than I was when I was a sophomore in high school. But I guess when you're, no matter how impressive you are, there's always somebody more, there's always somebody doing more impressive.
And I think for me, when it comes to looking at our kids, so somebody said to me, you know, so both of our kids are in sports, and I think both of them at one point had a dream of, maybe a lot of kids do. I didn't play sports. I was a dancer. But even I had aspirations of like being a big Broadway star as somebody who doesn't sing. Like it was unrealistic. But eventually I got to a point, you know, where I was like, oh, I'm just doing this to have fun and I'd like to try my best, but this is all it's going to be. So I think our kids are to that point now, which is glorious because they're playing sports for the best reasons. Like the things they, like Lola's had some come from behind wins against a higher ranked player that like, and her team cheering around her. I'm like, there are some core memories that we'll have, like who cares if she doesn't get a D1 scholarship. But like there are parents out that look at their kids with disappointment when they don't achieve either an academic or a sports thing. And I would like to say to those parents, were you great at what you did? Like I was completely mediocre. I was a good dancer. I was a good dancer, but compared to the world, compared to like the national
the globe,
like I was in like Miss Dance of America competition. Like I represented Florida. I didn't make the top 10. They called the top 10 out to compete for the second day. Was not me. Like I was firmly right in the middle. I was good, but I was not going to be nationally recognized. And like, why would I expect my kids? They didn't come from lineage that came from like D1 athletes. Like, why would I expect them in turn to be amazing?
I totally agree with you. I'm going to flip this a little bit really quickly.
Flip the script.
Well, because you just talked about how I'm doing the best I can as like your channel for empathy and understanding other parents. Do you think some of those parents are acting that way? Maybe because they're doing the best they can to fulfill these incredibly fervent dreams that their children have?
100%. Yeah. And we have met at these different, you know, matches and meets, and we have met children, and Lola has a friend who's like homeschooling now so she can play tennis full time. And her parents are like, are you sure you want to do that? Like they were like cautious, but she is so
absolutely driven. That's what I'm gonna do. Yeah.
So yes.
So that parent may come across as like an overbearing all or nothing kind of parent, but really what they're doing is the best they can as well.
Yeah,
that's something to think about.
You're so right.
So that's how I feel like I don't know if I should project that on my kids, but that's what I think about when I hear that phrase. The other thing I think about is what you mentioned with my shortcomings as an ADHD person. I think it's our responsibility to do the best that we can. Just that, and the best you can, people are going to realize is not going to be great in some places. You're going to leave the freezer open. You're going to mess up at some point, but you've got to try.
Yeah,
you've got to try the best that you can.
You don't, and that's, you know, we're putting a book proposal together for, and this one's focused on ADHD, and hopefully something could be co-read amongst, you know, younger kids who are newly diagnosed, plus, you know, parents and spouses who want to support adults with ADHD. So it's pretty broad, but we're putting it together now. But one of the things, as somebody who's not the diagnosed ADHD person in this relationship, is I want to make it perfectly clear that Penn does not use this as an excuse. So like when you leave your keys in the freezer and we all, that actually hasn't happened recently, but like, and we all spend 10 minutes looking for them, you are always very like, I'm so sorry. Like, you don't ever say, like, well, it's my ADHD. I can't help it. Like, you own the, and you will also, like, we just talked
and
about
then you
this.
Try harder next time.
You try harder next time. And you said this, I think, on last podcast. Like, you had a very busy last week, and you looked at me, and you're like, my executive functioning, like, capabilities are peaking. Something is going to get missed, and I'm really sorry. Like, I need your help. And so there are ways. And so I think just being aware of what your best is, but also giving yourself grace when it doesn't get to that. Because let's face it, like, some days I'm like, I'm going to kill it. I'm going to run the fastest mile I've ever run. Like, I'll do a workout and I'm like, I could run forever. I feel amazing. And there are some days where I can barely walk like the dog around the block.
Yeah.
And that's just what it is.
I want to close this podcast by saying this podcast, which is about 30 minutes long, could have been longer, but today it's the best we can do. Because Kim needs to go to a doctor.
You guys, I got wrist surgery, as you know.
Kim,
maybe if you're listening, I'm getting my stitches out today.
Kim's getting her stitches out. And, you know, and it was this the injury that we believe may have been exacerbated by turning over rocks in Thessaloniki. And she is, she's going to go. And we're going to say thank you for listening to this. I hope you enjoyed the post game from a fight that we had.
Oh my gosh. I told Penn, I was like, let's do this another time, or let's go a week without a podcast. Like, nobody, you guys don't care if we don't post a podcast, but it felt good. I'm not congested. I'm not sick. Although, bless Penn, he came home from Switzerland and two of his friends that he was with tested positive for COVID. So he's been in a mask for the last 5 days.
I think I'm in the clear. I don't know that Switzerland is as, like, careful.
Well, he went look
at
his
at least the place
really,
I went to.
Yeah, his friend was really sick, and so he's like, "You probably have COVID. Let me go get you a test." And
the guy at the supermarket was like, "Nous n'avons besoin de test COVID," which is we don't need a COVID test. And I'm like,
"You sound very angry when you speak in French."
They always, my children need wine. Sorry, that's from The Simpsons. The south of French accent is very. Oh, like the guy from The Little Mermaid.
I can't wait to go back to Switzerland. We were there from the only time I've been to Switzerland was on The Amazing Race, and it's not exactly a beautiful way to see the world, like, because you're running in sheer panic. I would love to go back. I would, you know, I think our lives right now are very revolved around our kids, and which is fine, and that's the stage of life. But I do think, like, I would love this just dreamy. Like, I would love to go to Switzerland with you. And
we talked about this at the beginning, and we're going to end with this. I want to do more stuff with you as my wife. I don't give a crap about the other stuff. Like, I'll quit my job if I have to. I would love to spend more time with you as my wife. You're a fun wife. A lot of fun. And I love you. And now you're crying again. And I'm sorry. You're a lot of fun.
I don't.
I know. You don't feel like a lot of fun sometimes. You feel like no one ever feels like fun all the time.
I think I'm funny.
You are
but
fun.
But I don't think I'm fun.
You're very fun. You just, honestly, I think you've got to work with me to make some time to be fun. And it's like we're just in a weird place where you're looking at me, and I don't know if you're always seeing your husband, if you're seeing your work partner or your co-parent, you know? And so I think we've just got to see each other as that other person more often. I don't think we're the only people in the world who have this problem, but we certainly have set ourselves up for a unique situation where we work together. And so just getting away and making it just the two of us is tough. And B, sometimes when it's just the two of us and we're trying to get away somewhere, C shows up and says, how you doing? Yeah. What's going on? So the anonymity is not what it used to be. And that is an unfortunate truth. And I'm not complaining about it. It's the reason why we have this platform and have this ability to connect with the rest of the world. But I think that lack of anonymity has not helped us in achieving social closeness.
Yeah.
Just the two of us. So.
Yeah. I have to get my stitches out.
Okay.
You guys, thanks for listening. I mean, I'm sorry I'm crying. I don't know, am I PMSing? Let me look at my calendar.
Okay, Kim's going to check her calendar.
No, I'm not. If I'm PMSing, then...
While she checks, I want to thank those of you who have subscribed to our podcast. It really helps us when you do. It really helps when you leave a review. We're not going to read a review this week because Kim's got to get out of here, but we'll read one next week. The reviews make a huge difference. Our merch store is about to open back up. We're selling new and improved t-shirts, hats, and other gear. We've gotten a look at the all of the designs. They're fantastic. Just in time for Christmas, we have a new family game called Family Face-Off, which will be available very shortly. It is a game that you can play with your whole family for either 10 minutes or like an entire rainy day. We have a lot of stuff going on, and we thank you guys so much for supporting us for that. We'll give you much more specifics as it comes along. And babe, go get them stitches out from that hot doctor.
Oh my gosh, he was very attractive.
I have to go, but if you want to tell the story.
I don't know that he's a doctor. He looked like a Disney prince. I love you, babe. I'm going to give her a kiss.
I do have to.
Kim's got to go. Okay. He came into the room and I'm like, no, that's not what. And there was this 30 Rock episode called The Bubble with John Hamm where he is a doctor, but no one ever told him that he sucked at being a doctor because he was so hot. And he like was a tennis instructor and no one told him he couldn't play tennis because he was so hot. And he always got every restaurant reservation because he was so hot. So like I'm looking at this doctor and I'm like, I really hope, by the way, he's a great doctor. I think like the stitches look great. Kim's wrist is all better. But I'm sitting there thinking like, is there a level of hotness where you can just suck at everything and no one's ever going to tell you because you're so hot? Anyway, thanks for listening to the podcast. My wife is gone. I'm sitting here talking by myself. Oh, you know, while she's gone, I also want to, like, I just want to put a button on this. And I don't care if she hears this or not. I have the best wife on the planet. And this week, me forgetting to thank her for what she did made her feel like she was worth less than she actually is. And I will be sorry for that for the rest of my life, but I married the most badass woman on the planet. Not only is she beautiful, not only is she fun and hot and all of these things that you just can probably tell by watching her on these videos, she's a really good mom. She, with pleasure, spent these 5 days where I was in Switzerland going, not just like doing the bare minimum, which is what a lot of parents do, like, which is what I do. Like when Kim goes on a kid's trip, I'm like, okay, kids, where are we getting pizza tonight? Right? Like who wants to have a sleepover with their friends? You want to go sleep over there? Go ahead. Kim made it an effort to like go take my kids to a football game. She made it an effort to get them all around town to all these places she wanted to go to. And she did it with pleasure and with pride. And she's just the best mom possible. She gave me this trip, which was a gift to me because I do need to get out and about with my buddies every once in a while. And so just a reminder to husbands and wives and boyfriends and girlfriends and anyone out there, when someone gives you that gift, you should probably say thank you, not once, not twice, but a million times. And that was one of the worst oversights I've ever had as a husband. And honey, I love you and I am so grateful for you. And I hope you know that. Okay, I'm here by myself, and I'm going to stop talking. Bye.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.